Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims and joining us this morning, Tyler Mayor Martin Hines, actually talking about a whole lot of different things, much of which are going to be familiar to many of you and a few rabbits that we may pull out of our hat and things that have maybe kind of gone on the back burner for a while. But it's going to be a comprehensive show as Mayor Hines winds down his 6 years as mayor of Tyler. Good morning, Martin. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, John.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus, and In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Martin, you're still in office. If it hadn't been for the COVID-19 pandemic, you would not be. You would have already moved on, but that kind of changed things up a little bit. So right now, you're wrapping up your third and final term, 6+ years, and the election will be in November, and somebody else will be taking your place at that point. So you're kind of winding down your tour of duty, but still a lot of work to be done, and we're going to start with the obvious topic, the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's start with your perspective on just generically, what the city has done and taken responsibility for, and what you specifically have taken responsibility for and continue to do with regard to the response to COVID-19?
John, I think it's been very important that the model that we followed here in Smith County, and that is we set up an emergency operations command with the county government, and so instead of having two separate entities working on emergency operations, we formed together. We felt like it was just very necessary that we together had the same communications with the constituents and folks in our county. And one thing that we learned early on, of course, because of just the overwhelming impact of COVID in the country, that the federal government, state government, really was not coming to help. Because really, if you have a hurricane, for example, or you have a tornado, then it's very localized. And so state resources can come, federal resources can come. But because of the scope of this hitting the entire country, we focused in together locally and worked with the Net Health Board, George Roberts and his group, and we soon found that they were overwhelmed because, you know, no health organization was ready, or no local health organization was ready for this type of scope either. So it was we've determined really early that city staff and county government staff, working together in conjunction with Northeast Texas Public Health, was really the way that we needed to serve our communities. And really at the height of our efforts, there were probably about 25 county employees and 25 city employees, plus pretty much the entire staff of Northeast Texas Public Health was focused together on making sure that we kept the COVID numbers down. And we didn't turn out to be anything like a New York or a Spain or an Italy, right?
Mm-hmm. As far as when this thing first hit, and it didn't hit all at once, it hit within a relatively short period of time. I would say maybe within a week's window, people were really beginning to understand that this was going to be a major problem. But as mayor, you have enough on your plate already. This must have just really hit you upside the head. But it sounds to me like, as the old saying goes, cooler heads have to prevail. And between that and just the general knowledge that you and your colleagues have built up over the years in dealing with emergencies, I'm sure that came in extremely handy in this situation.
Yes. You know, the our fire chief, David Copel, was really involved in emergency management when he was with the Fort Worth Fire Department. And so with him being the fire chief, it was extremely beneficial to have his knowledge on how to set up an emergency command center, and Jay Brooks over at the county worked extremely well. And so I don't know to say if you could describe me as a cooler head in the very beginning. I don't know if I was that. I think that, John, we just needed to gain knowledge just as fast as we could, and to get an understanding of the health, the public health world, and so that we could do everything in our ability to be ready if it did hit Tyler hard. And it really didn't hit Smith County or really East Texas to the level of New York, because my opinion is that, and the opinion of the local health folks, is the density, that we just don't have a density issue. Uh-huh. And so, we're not packed into subways. And so I think that's why, while, every case we had was important, and we just had to plan. I mean, our point of view really became, let's plan for the worst and pray for the best. And so we did a lot of front loading on planning that we didn't really have to implement a lot of it, which is great, but we needed to adequately plan for the worst.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Mayor Martin Hines is our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. And anyway, here we are. It's early June, and things are starting to let up, mostly on the call of Governor Abbott. He's really kind of been setting the tone and setting the model for what's been going on here in East Texas, and how Tyler and Smith County and our neighboring counties, Gregg County, Longview, communities like that, have responded. But this is probably as good a time as any to remind people that, and a lot of people are already aware of it. You see people wearing masks, people hesitating to go to restaurants and things like that. Some restaurants still being a little bit antsy about reopening, even under the loosened restrictions. And it goes without saying that's important. We have to get back to business, but we also still have to be very, very careful. The things we were hearing about early on, wash your hands, maintain social distancing, those are still very much in effect.
Yes, and I think that is just very important, right? I'm confident that the smart people around the world that are working on this issue will come up with some great medical protocols in the near future. I just believe that, because the level of commitment that the doctors and the hospitals have put towards this, I know they're still working hard today, but we still need to make sure that we're doing the social distancing. And it's been really hard for me to not shake hands, right?
Me too. Yeah.
The bumping of elbows or the fist bump is something that we're just becoming used to now. But I think that it's definitely something that the restaurants are working very hard as an organization to make sure, as organizations, to make sure that they are wiping surfaces and wearing masks and doing everything mm-hmm. they can to take care of the customer. I'm very hopeful that we can continue to get back out to normalcy. And I do think that will happen.
Well, it is happening slowly but surely. And, of course, we also have to be thinking about things like whether COVID-19 reemerges or people get a little bit too loose following the restrictions. One of the mysteries of all this is when and how much it might flare up again, and we have to be mindful of that. But all of that said, one of the things that's going to be happening soon within the city government is that city council, is soon going to start meeting again in person. I believe June 24th is your first meeting back in person since all this began, and there are reasons for that, very practical reasons, and also I know you have to maintain social distancing and make sure that the correct protocols are in place for something
correct.
Like that.
Yeah. Correct, and we will do so in that. When we're in the council chambers, it's very difficult, especially when you get into planning and zoning items, mm-hmm. where developers and property owners and really want to interact with one another to come up with the best plan and the best compromise or understanding of what a developer is going to do or what a homeowner is going to do with a piece of property. And so those items really need to be done in person. And it helps for the council to be able to be there as a body that can help reconcile any sort of issues amongst the parties. But you really need to do that in person. I think that is, you know, it's great to have all the Zooms and the Microsoft Teams and all that kind of stuff. But some things you just need to do in person. And so we need to get back to that. And so we can adequately serve our citizens.
Yes, and keep listening and watching and reading and checking the information so you'll know. If you want to go to a city council meeting, there are going to be protocols that are going to be in place, and that'll come out, I'm sure, as we get closer to that June 24th date.
Yes,
also,
sir.
I want to make sure that everybody understands it's really, really, really hard to keep up with everything. It's impossible, even for a news person like me. And if you want a complete list of reopening facilities and phone information, the best place to go is to that city website, cityoftyler.org. It's all going to be on there. You can always call City Hall, check with your city council member, what have you, your half-cent sales tax board member, depending on the situation, whatever that situation entails. But that city website's the best broad-based source of information, cityoftyler.org. Best place to go if you have any questions about any of this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, moving along, and we may come back to the COVID-19 later in the show. We'll see how our timing goes as we talk to Mayor Martin Hines of the City of Tyler. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Just as things were starting to kind of, and it's become almost a cliche now, flattening the curve. Just as the curve was starting to flatten with COVID-19, the George Floyd incident, his death in police custody in Minneapolis came up, and within a few days it had gone nationwide, and within a short time after that, it had gone international. I know you've been in Tyler pretty much all your life. I've been here or within 55 miles of this space.
That's right.
Since 1976. I've never seen anything like this before. The way people in Tyler are responding to this through different types of things, prayer vigils, protests. There was recently a video town hall meeting, but it's like every day practically it seems like there's something going on to bring people's attention to this incident and to see that it doesn't happen here. And your role in this has been pretty high profile. I think I heard that you've been downtown practically every night this past week involved in these protests, or at least being there to observe.
Yes, sir. I really have been there to observe, right? Because it's a new generation of young people that are becoming leaders through this horrible incident. And I think it's incumbent upon all of the elected leaders, and especially as I get older, and most of these young people are, 30 to 40 years younger than I am. And I think it's just really important for me to listen. And I think it's important for the community to listen to what they have to say. I mean, it's been very peaceful. Many of the protesters are coming from different church organizations throughout the community, and several UT Tyler students have become the leaders and the organizers of these events, and they have been very peaceful, and they have it's just been very important, I thought, to go and just listen to their speeches and listen to their emotions.
Mm-hmm. And you were involved in one earlier in the past week. There was a noontime prayer vigil organized by Commissioner Joanne Hampton, and I know you were one of the speakers at that. That was your one opportunity to get front and center on the whole thing.
Yes, and you know, I think that and that is definitely the what you, I guess, would refer to as just the leadership groups of African Americans, and then and then just the whole community overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
That came to that prayer vigil, and Joanne Hampton has been a great leader for this community and been involved in so many things, and so I think the prayer vigil was very important. There again, right? I mean, this is a new generation. And this is a generation of young people, multiracial, all different groups coming together for these protests. And one thing that I have definitely learned and is really a bright light is that the younger generation, there is no racism. And they are standing up very strong and stating that in these peaceful protests that they do not want a society to move forward in a fashion that continues to have bias or racism. They want a new world. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that over the years that all generations have definitely made improvements, and I think this generation has made it clear that they want it gone.
Mm-hmm. And that really segues right into the next comment I was going to make. As we visit with Mayor Martin Hines of Tyler this morning on In Focus, I'm John Sims. It's not just about one incident. As huge and as horrific as this incident was and as much response as it has received, we have to look down the road. And it sounds to me like you're saying that it really is, A, in the hands of the younger generation, and B, they're off to a good start.
I think they are. The organizers and the protesters that have been out in our community have just been very respectful and very committed to their beliefs. And, you know, that's something that the police chief and the sheriff, they have worked extremely well and really formed some new relationships with some of this younger generation, and I think that's very important as well.
Okay, moving on to our next topic. You have a few more months left in office, and you know, you and I have known each other for a long time. I think you were in high school. I was still a young adult at the time when we were both involved in the Exploring program back in the late 70s, and I've always known you to be a person who got things done, but who was frankly pretty self-effacing. And when you get into questions like what is your legacy, how do you want your time as mayor to be remembered, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you do want a chance to talk about some of the things that have been accomplished under your auspices and how you'd like to see that continue.
Yeah, so instead of saying let me change it just a little bit. How about our legacy, right?
Our legacy,
because,
okay.
It's not really my legacy, because when you look at it, there's been so many great mayors before me. Mm-hmm. There have been many city council members, and we do have a great staff at City Hall that we've always been able to maintain great staff. And so it's not just my legacy. I mean, it's a legacy that we've moved towards, and a lot of that is infrastructure-based. Mm-hmm. There's so much, you know, the older pipes, for example, the water pipes and sewer pipes that are under the ground, that if out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yeah.
But we know that they're there, and so we have made major investments and plans to improve not only the water quality, but also the sanitary sewer system. And it's not something that people talk about that much, but I mean, it's very important to have a good, solid infrastructure system in the community. And then, you know, we did add about $1.5 million to $2 million per year based on 2 cents of the tax rate that's dedicated 100% to maintenance of the streets in our community. And that's with seal coating and crack seal. And the more maintenance that you do, the less that you have to do the very expensive complete replacement of streets. And so a lot of those items are just very important, but it's how we all have worked hard on that topic.
Your airport runway, our airport runway, that is finally been extended to accommodate the 737s. When you think about what Pounds Field, before it became Tyler Pounds Regional Airport, was like 20, 30, however many years ago, a lot of improvements there, and that's just an ongoing project, looking at the big picture.
Right, I think during the last 6 or 7 years, there's been $70 to $75 million investment into our airport. 90% of that comes from the federal government, and we have a 10% match. And as we It looks like we'll have to wait till a little bit more in the future, really, to utilize that facility with the lack of traveling going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Has changed the dynamics, and I'm afraid that I think it's public that Frontier's announced that they're going to be pulling out. But it is something that will definitely come back in the future because that we did find early on with Frontier that they were pulling people from all over Northeast Texas into the Tyler Airport, and I think that's something that will happen more and more in the future.
Okay. Traffic starting to pick up again now that the restrictions are being loosened. I noticed that pretty quickly, and again, going back to our earlier years in Tyler, it just wasn't like this. And it's a different world now. You need to take longer to get where you're going in the city, and traffic has been front and center on so many people's minds for so long. So you started a traffic study, and you're about to wrap it up. How are things looking with that?
Yeah, it's really important because it's always been the number one issue in this community. On Tyler First or any other survey we've ever done, it's the number one issue. And so we started a study about a year and a half ago. We brought in a firm. I mean, we have found that over the years there have been different areas that we have timed the lights by computer systems. And we have found now that we just have accumulated over the years five or six, maybe seven different systems. They interact sort of. And then we still have some of the very old lighting equipment. So once we get a full inventory and the current products that we do have in use, this company has already begun to rework the timing of lights, especially on the South Broadway and on the Loop. But we need, as we move forward, Tyler's not getting any smaller. Smith County is going to continue to grow. So we do need to make sure that we're providing the most up-to-date systems and equipment so we can maintain the shortest time distance travel possible for our citizens. And with that said, we also need, and we have worked with TxDOT to get some commitments from them to do some widening of Ruins Quarter Road, Biloxi, and Old Jacksonville Highway in order to get some better, wider north-south corridors coming through the community.
Okay, talking to Mayor Martin Hines of City of Tyler, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And, of course, obviously, it's important to remember it's not ever going to be perfect. You're trying to make the traffic situation the best way you possibly can, but Tyler's getting bigger. People are still going to need to drive carefully and govern themselves accordingly, as one of my old friends used to say. Take a little bit of extra time to get where you're going. Another issue that I think is important to mention, the Rose City Municipal Water District, which we I know you think of that as a forward-thinking and significant investment in infrastructure, making Tyler a stronger community.
Well, I mean, I think that is something that we have worked with the state legislature with for years through some leadership early with Senator Eltife and then with Matt Schaefer these last several sessions. And we were able to create a municipal utility district just for sewer system to serve the Smith County area with Tyler Water Utilities. And so that is something that is going to be very long-term, really a partnership with the citizens of Smith County, with the citizens of Tyler as well. But so much of that area will need some development and redevelopment of sewer system as it grows. You know, the municipal areas of Tyler will continue to grow, but also Smith County will too, so we need to all partner together to do the best thing for the citizens that live in that part of the county.
Another thing that's been front and center off and on, and it's going to continue to be on people's minds, more so as it comes closer to fruition. The Rose City Complex renovation, specifically Harvey Convention Center, I know that's got a lot of people excited.
Yes, sir. We worked for probably 12 years on looking at trying to find the best possible partnership to build a new hotel convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found, John, is that Tyler's just not ready for that. The developers that were going to partner with the city of Tyler, really it became much more of a public-public partnership instead of public-private partnership.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the developer was going to come in to do the development, but they were asking the city to put in probably about $50 million over time to their facility.
Yeah.
And it just the economics are just not there yet. So in the meantime, we've had a 2% increase in the hotel occupancy tax that has been going into a savings account. And so we were able to determine some formulas that we were able to pay for with cash a new convention center out in the Rose Complex.
Mm-hmm.
And move some of the infrastructure around out there as well to make it much more compatible for new and expanded convention center area within our community, and really ties in the current Rose Garden building space to really increase the opportunity for out-of-town groups to come use the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes economic sense and to do it in this fashion first. We're going to continue to retain the land out at Loop 49 and Broadway for something in the future. But for now, this is the smartest way forward, I believe. And it's really been voted on, and it's been very active within the different stakeholders within the hotel, motel, convention center processes.
Mm-hmm. As we get down close to the end of the show, this will be my big final question.
Okay.
I may have a couple of little smaller ones afterwards to fill time. We'll see how it goes. What's your message for future mayors and councils?
Well, I would just humbly say that the Tyler way of running municipal government has been very successful, where we really have been able to maintain a tax rate that's probably close to half of what a lot of the other peer cities mm-hmm. that we have around the state are. So we run a very efficient business-like operation. And it really has worked out best because, really, when you look at it, the social services that a lot of city municipal governments try to do around the country is really something that we, the faith-based organizations in the community, the nonprofits, have really just done an incredible job. Just look right now with COVID. Look at how the food bank, for example,
mm-hmm.
The private donations that have gone into the food bank and the incredible work that they're doing. They're working, again, it's been every Friday, so I know it's today as well, that the Harvey Hall location, the Rose area, they have providing a week's worth of meals for anyone that is in need. And, that's the kind of community that we have, that there's so many giving individuals. And that's something that I think the nonprofits and the faith-based groups do so much better than the city.
Okay.
So I think we stay in our wheelhouse and just do what we do and work as hard as we can. I know we have a great staff, and they are called to serve.
You bet. Martin, we're about ready to wrap up the show, but thanks so much for visiting
absolutely.
With us this morning. Martin Hines, Mayor of Tyler, our guest this morning on In Focus. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Don't be a stranger. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week on In Focus.